Well, hello, 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 and welcome to Sisters You Have Value podcast. I'm your host, Kim Tolliver, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Happy Friday, happy Friday. This podcast was created for women because we believe in the power of sisterhood and unity, and we strive to build a community where women can share their passions, learn from each other's experiences, and support each other on their journey. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Sisters You Have Value podcast. If you are a new listener, thank you so much for tuning in, and we pray you will come back for more. Give us a like, share, and follow. Leave a comment. Please tell a friend. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for being on this awesome journey with us today, and we pray you continue to come back. All right, grab your coffee, tea, drink. You know the drill. Let's get into it. Today is going to be a short and sweet day because I just had surgery this morning and I'm in a little bit of pain. So bear with me, but I didn't want to miss it. So I wanted to hop on and just talk about a few things, just some stuff I've been noticing. And it's just, I think, something we need to talk about. And I want to talk today a little bit about women with control issues and why it happens in controlling ways. And I've been noticing that a lot. Of course, you know, all this crazy stuff in social media, all these me, my, I make this, I do this, I do that. I don't need a man and all of that. That's a whole different ball game outside of also trying to control the narrative, which is not, I repeat, which is not God's design for relationships or marriage or anything else. And so for some reason, and you know, I have had that issue before, but I think a lot of that stems from past issues, traumas, and things like that. So when we seek control over things in our lives, I guess it's a way to feel empowered by certain things. So, and I know there are several different reasons why women try to have control over things in their lives. I guess, you know, again, to feel empowered because we lack a sense of control in other areas of our lives. It's kind of like wherever that weakness is, we compensate or overly compensate in another arena. However, this one can lead to some not so good outcomes when you come up on the right person, i.e. a real man, not a little boy who thinks it's cute. You have, you know, a lot of us have very little control growing up. Sometimes we're victims of abuse, neglect, or mistreatment. So there's a plethora of reasons you've gone through a very traumatic experience. So I just kind of want to lay some things out. Even if you are that woman and controlling and not know why, sometimes having some vantage points or some gauges can help you along the way to kind of think. It'll give us some pause for cause to go, you know what? You know what? No, it ain't because mama them was that way. There might have been some things that just happened along the way that caused this, a lack of trust, low or damaged self-esteem, suffering from high anxiety, failed or failing relationships, which is why they're probably failing too. Limiting beliefs and a lack of core values. And of course, that comes from dysfunction, you know, depending on how you grow up or even if you depending on what that household looked like growing up. And that can also lead to your mother being controlling if there was a two-parent home, controlling the narrative of everything inside that house. Perfectionism and fear of failure, emotional sensitivity, fear of losing control, which you probably will depending on the circumstances, and fear of experiencing painful emotions. And sometimes crying is good for the soul. So even when we have some painful things, through the pain is where God reveals all of those issues and things like that. So sometimes people try to run from the pain as much as they can by continuing down that same path. But of course, we know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing we've always done, expecting a different result. So even when we're not happy with our life, even when we're not happy with how things are turning out, you have to course correct. Even in this situation, especially in this situation, y'all may hear some moving around. Man, I'm in, you know, like I said, I'm swelling. I have what they call trigger finger. And so I had to have my thumb operated on to release the tendon or do something with it to help it get better. And I'm supposed to keep this hand up, and it's just waking up. Let's just say that. And baby, when they wake up, they wake up. So, but anyway, whatever your reasons, ladies, most often the behavior results in mistreatment of other people. So whether you think that's something cool to think that you can run somebody, to control always often leads to you mistreating other people. Because again, that's the only way you can gain control in some situations. Now, a child, that's different. You can tell your child what to do because that's your child, and they don't have that sense of whatever when they're young. And so I wouldn't call it control, but leading them in the right way, trying to. So yeah, you can control that narrative. But a grown man or another adult or something like that in any kind of relationship or walk of life, even be it at work, you know, relational, anything, friendships, you can damage a whole lot of things. So there are several different ways that we try to control that environment too, and ourselves and others. So when you exert power over that, you can, you know, like I said, from your family, social groups, workplace setting, you know, we're unable to control, though, that inner emotional state. And that's what turns us into this external world to find things that we can control. When we can't control what's going on inside, we try to control what's going on the outside. But, you know, it's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on Hoover Dam. I know you've heard me say that before. The battlefield is the mind. And everything, you know, nothing happens in the natural that doesn't happen in the spiritual. But a lot of the problems and things that we're having begins from that inside. And that inside is where we've been damaged, where we've been torn, where we've been battered, where we've been bruised, where we've been hurt. And if we don't get that inside right, this outside is going to be a beast. You know what I mean? And the Bible said it's not what goes in a man that defiles him. Is what comes out, you know. So whatever's been in there, whatever you've done over your lifetime or whatever happened to you over the lifetime can draw those things out of you if we don't fix it, if we don't get it right. So we struggle with that, and many women struggle with control issues, and it can manifest itself as food, body images, body image issues, jealousy, guilt, overprotectiveness, anxiety, or even self-harm or addiction. And I can honestly say I have fallen into this control issue. And when you say the issue is you. So that's why I say when we create these podcasts, the only difference again between me and you is you know about mine, I don't know about yours. You just don't want to admit it. That's why, that's half the battle. Well, G.I. Joe says something, knowing is half the battle. So, but in order to be able to relinquish that external control, we have to first become aware of the internal problems, y'all, that cause the controlling behavior. And that's typically, again, control is typically a reaction to the fear of losing control. But if you have to be controlling and manipulative, you lost control a long time ago. You never had control. When you really think of it in the scheme of things, you don't have control anyway. That's why you have to manipulate. That's why you have to do the things that you do in order to control the narrative. And I don't think it's a good place to be. But anyway, people who struggle with that need to be in control. Like I said, you have a fear of being at the mercy of others. And then that fear may stem from traumatic events that left us feeling helpless and vulnerable. And so as a result, we crave control in unhealthy ways, though, y'all. So the experience of abuse and neglect for example, can make you look for ways to regain control, and we lash out at other people. Not cool. So not cool. So again, we want to discover these sources of the fear, and that's the key. Yeah, and that's why I wanted to talk about it today. Just looking at some things that's happened to people near and dear, or just some, you know, co-workers, and looking at an environment where you have people that are in leadership that have control issues and make excuses of why they have the certain issues, not realizing that your control is done in such a belittling way. Your control is done at the mercy of your subordinates. Your control is done where it's not cool at all, but because y'all are all human, and you're no better than the ones that you're trying to control. So we have to discover, we have to get to the heart of this. We have to get to the source of this fear. And then by understanding why you have a need to feel empowered and be in charge of situations or other people's lives, then you can begin to see that the fears, although real at the time of your loss, your abuse, they're distorted though and unrealistic in your present life. I talk about things that what get us here doesn't keep us here. There are some things along the way that even for me that I guess it was my coping mechanism, I guess, to get through those hardships and those times in my life where I had that vulnerability or where I've had that heartache or that breakdown where somebody had done something to me. Well, in order to compensate, sometimes we grow these hard shells and these walls. We put up these walls and things like that. But as we get older and we come off of that milk and we get on that solid food in Christ, and we build a foundation with Christ, our creator, and know whose we are and who we are in Christ, we begin to identify that, Lord, I don't like that, you know, and I know you've heard me say it before, Lord, I don't like the person that I've become. I don't like to be that type of person. I don't like those things. And those are the things in discovering. It may have served me well along the way in my youth in order to cope from about having a nervous breakdown, if that's the case or whatever, but it certainly doesn't serve my life now and where I'm going in the direction that God has me in, because I have identified that that was something that was needed at that time. And in my devotion the other day, you know, the Holy Spirit just revealed it to me. No, it wasn't really something that you needed, Kim. It was something that you used outside of seeking God for that help, outside of coming to God and doing that heavy and hard prayer that you needed to do to ask God to heal, deliver, and set free from those things. So when we're out here on our own and we live in life in a world way, we're going to pick up the world's habits on coping, and we will do whatever at all costs. We don't care who we run over again through that. We don't care what we do, but as long as we're making it and as long as we're okay, but it costs you something. And it also costs that other person something where you can actually destroy something on the other side because of that. So again, that need for control drives us to the external world in order to find things to control. And so you may be compelled, you know, I've seen it. I just had to tell someone the other day, micromanaging is not the issue. That's not it. I mean, we don't micromanage and control the actions and behaviors of others. I paid this guy doing a work on one of my houses, and the whole job just kind of went to hell in a handbasket because this guy, of course, I found him on the internet, so don't know him from a can of paint, but he has a control issue. And the people that were working for him, hey, he has this proclivity, this is my job. It's my job site, you know, kind of thing. And you do what I tell you to do. If the people take a break for 5 seconds, he wants you to move. When he say move, this man had gone to the extreme of cutting the power off at my house. These are the things that I was told. Cut the power off because they didn't get up and move in what he thought was a timely fashion for them to get up and move. Now, I've never heard of that, but how crazy is that? So it's those kind of things that we're compelled to micromanage, but that's also a great indication that you got some other issues going on in your life. You know, you have these rigid rules regarding your routine and diet and cleanliness, order, job size, things like that. And people who are physically and psychologically abusive will likely inflict pain on loved ones in the form of ridicule, isolation, restrictions, physical assault, because they themselves are in pain. And though the pain is deeply buried in often unacknowledged, is there. So that's why, y'all, it's so imperative. That's why I just felt like this topic was so imperative that we learn the very first component of confidence. That's self-awareness. Self-awareness is the first thing to anything. You have to become aware of the things that we do and where we are in our lives in order to, Pastor McMinnis always said, if we don't understand something's use, abuse is inevitable. So if we're not able to identify these things, if we're not able to come to grips with the things that we're doing and what we have going on in our lives, abuse is inevitable. And even if that abuse is at the hands of us abusing others, you know, you can also abuse yourself, you know, like they said, through addiction or any other kind of thing, form of stuff. But you know, some of those examples, ladies, if you don't know what, well, how am I controlling people? Micromanaging, keeping a person from seeing or talking to the loved ones or friends. You try to be overly protective. You do physical and emotional abuse, bullying, taunting. You know, some examples of controlling yourself or your environment, obsessive behaviors, disordered eating, compulsive exercising, self-harm, substance abuse, compulsive arranging, tidying and cleaning. You know, they always say we always go to the extreme. You know, they used to say when some people become holy rollers and they tear the church doors down day, morning, noon, night, you know, and things like that. So there's a plethora of things and ways that we overly compensate when we have things going on in our life. So, and when we struggle for that and with the need to control, we experience shame, you know, anxiety, stress, depression, and a bunch of other mental health concerns. So we have to be able to recognize that though you may be inflicting it on others, you are also internally damaging yourself as well. That's why you have so much stress, because you're too busy trying to control the narrative. You have so much going on. Because you want to be able to, you know, control everything that goes on from A to Z, and you can't. The only thing we can control is ourselves. You can't control anything. You can't control an outcome. You're not God. You just can control how you respond in situations. And though we're talking about it, let me be clear, it's easier said than done. It takes some work. It takes much prayer, much power. There's a lot that go into this, but you have to be willing to do the work to be healed and set free from these damaging emotions and things that's happening. You know, because again, when we lack control in one area of our life, we try to find that control in other areas of our lives, good or bad. And sometimes it's not good. It's always bad. So, and controlling people are really, really good at triggering negative reactions in others, you know. But if you viewed it from a different perspective, you can actually teach others how to stand up for themselves and take back their power, too, by not doing those things. So, and I just want to end it with some things that the Bible teaches us as believers, the importance of relationships. And so, one, we need to love one another. We need to, number one, love one another. And John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Not you can, if you will, you must love one another. So that's how, you know, the takeaway to that is to cultivate a spirit of love and selflessness in your relationships. Stop being selfish and try to control every narrative. And it may just turn out in a whole different way. It just may turn out better in your favor than what you're thinking by trying to control it. You know what they say about women giving men ultimatums. I don't want you if I got to give you an ultimatum. I don't want anything if I have to force feed it. If I got to force it, it ain't for me no way. But if I got to force it, is it really real? It was controlled by my narrative, not by someone's willingness or own wanting to be around me, wanting to be with me, wanting to do whatever it is. So remember that. Do all things, but do it in love. Not through control, not through, it won't last anyway. I promise you, he'll move it, he'll take it, and you're going to still have that same breakdown. While you're trying to control it, you still going to break your tail down. It's just designed that way, y'all. It's just designed that way. Number two, we need to bear each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And so be willing to support and help people in time of need, not be willing to manipulate and tear people down in their time of need. Two different things. Bear the burdens. Love one another. Number three, we need to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 say, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So you got to make it a habit to offer words of encouragement and affirmations to those that are around you, not words of disdain and belittling and harmful things that's going to make someone feel less than a person. And always remember, somebody did that to you. We don't do to others what we don't want done to ourselves. And sometimes you have to remember how it made you feel. You know, it doesn't feel good. So you're just a product of that environment of what happened to you. But you can change the narrative. God is a healer. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The Bible say we have not because we ask not. And as the majority of unanswered prayers are those that were never prayed. Remember that. Those that were never prayed. That is the majority of unanswered prayers are those that were never prayed. You never asked. You never took the time to go, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. Lord, move this from me. Lord, I don't like this manipulative spirit. Lord, I don't like taking advantage of others or controlling others. Lord, I just want to have a life of love. Lord, I just want to build the capacity to be normal. Lord, give me normalcy. Help me to see others through your eyes. Lord, open my eyes of enlightenment that I can see and view it in such a way that brings beauty, love. Anything that's, you know, does it build up? Does it edify? Or do you tear down? Number four, forgive one another. Bear each other up and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's Colossians 3:13. And so the takeaway to that is to practice forgiveness to maintain healthy and peaceful relationships. See, even the things in the past, you have to forgive those that hurt you. You have to forgive those that maliciously used you. And in forgiving, it doesn't take away that they didn't do what they did because they did. But what it does is frees you from being like them. Now you're a manipulator. Now you're a control freak. Now you're everything that they did to you. And it didn't feel good to you. So, and now you're just breeding that same thing onto someone else. Unbeknownst to you, that is not cool. And I do get it. There's some things about ourselves we don't like, but it's just hard. And you know, kind of like the man that came to him and said his son had this issue. And he said, Lord, I asked your disciples to help, but they couldn't remove it. And the Bible said, and they said, well, Lord, why couldn't we heal this child? He said, because some things only come out by prayer and fasting. We have to pray some things out. We have to fast some things out. Some things just don't move arbitrarily because we say, I don't want it there. I'm going to stop doing it. That's not the case. Number five, it says, live in harmony. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. strive for unity and humility in your interactions with others. What does it say? Well, we strive to build this sisterhood is for unity and build that community of that so that we can lift each other up. That's what our purpose is, to unify and build up each other's, you know, in such a way that we can help. Not because you've arrived and you, oh, well, they got to get it like I did. Why? You know, there are some things I don't want to experience. There are some things I'm going to take your word at. And I'm going to take it at face value. Number six, spur on one another. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Motivate and inspire people to do good works and live out their faith. You got to. And I promise you, in doing that, you will heal as well. Sometimes we don't want to see something good happen to somebody else, but your light ain't going to go out because they're shining. Actually, you'll get a little bright bulb trying to help somebody. God sees all and he rewards. Number seven, pray for one another. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So regularly pray for the needs and well-being of others. Pray for their well-being. Stop trying to be self-serving so that everything can come out and work in your favor and good. Pray for somebody else too. Number eight, serve one another. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in humility, humbly, and love. Look for opportunities to serve people instead of using them. And do it with humility and love. Number nine, be compassionate and kind. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Show kindness and compassion in all your relationships. Ask God to give you that heart to be able to show that kindness instead of manipulation and strife. Ask God to help you to be that person and woman of God that he's called you to be able to be that witness, to be able to be that disciple, to be able to help. And the last thing we need to do, live at peace, y'all. With everyone. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So make an effort to resolve conflicts and live peacefully with others. Resolve any conflicts, anything that you have, make an effort to do that. But with God's help, you can. That's why I say make an effort. God will do the rest. Lord, help me. So that I can live at peace and be in harmony with all people, with all men. Because remember, those things that we put out, it comes back. So remember how you treat people. Remember the manipulation. Remember the things that you do. It comes back to you too as well. So I just want to, you know, take some time out to, you know, and that's not God's design for marriage. You can't control no man. That's why your relationship's jacked up, because you want to be the man and wear the pants. He said, a helpmate. I'll make a helpmeet, not a he meet her out of her. You know, that's not your role. That's not where he put you. That's not what you were here for. And even in that sin, that old Eve, I'm going to slap her when I get there, though. Even in that sin, what did it say? You're still, your husband is going to rule over you, and you're still going to have desires for him. So just get with it. You're going to still desire that man. And I wouldn't want to be with no little wimp that just let me do anything I want to do when I want to do it. I want somebody to tell me, go sit down sometime. Kim, go sit down. You so crazy, but I'm going to go sit down because you're so cute when you say that. But, you know, you got to have that balance, y'all. You got to have that balance. But, again, you got to be in the will of God and you got to be in God's design in order for things to be healthy, healing, and whole for us. And so instead of trying to find our own way, y'all, let's run to the rock. Go to the one that created us, that we need to go back to the owner's manual and pray
and get on our knees and ask God to heal us from all those things, all unrighteousness, all things that have caused us to be this way, that is not a good way, that we want to be carefree and kind to all people so that we can live in peace and harmony with them. So I hope it helps somebody. Send this to your narcissistic controlling friend. Let her know that's not God's design and way. We need to do better. We all need to come together and show love and be in peace and harmony with each other. And maybe we could rid the world of some of this craziness that's going on out here. Maybe we can do some things with this. Everybody's out for something. Everybody's out to get something. Almost everybody. Let me take that back. Everybody is not, but there are a lot of people out there that are. So forgive me for that statement, because that's not a truism. Just like all men are not dogs. And no women are cats. I'm just playing. But all men are not dogs. You know, everybody, there's goodness in us all. We just have to seek it out and find it and ask God to reveal it. So I love y'all. Happy Friday. This hand of mine is throbbing. I'm so glad I made it through, but I wanted to hop on in spite of this surgery so that we can be a blessing and continue to encourage each other. So you guys have a great weekend, and God willing, and the creeks don't rise, I will talk at you again on next Friday.